with reports. The next item is the approval of the minutes of March 16th.
So moved.
Second.
Is there discussion? Not all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, the next item is number 6 from the Corporation Council on a resolution.
Joe?
Dave, you want to speak?
Yeah, I have.
All right, all of you have this on the issue of tax-exempt financing municipal bonds. Proposal in the Congress to change that some way, but in general, to remove the exempt status. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we have our constituency group, NACO, is advising us that this thought now has new life. I'm not sure what you know, but a few years back, the past administration actually presented budgets that proposed capping of the exemption at 28%, so the tax rate goes above 28%, so if you're at that higher tax rate, they phase out the exemption, which shifts more costs to us. Now, I think everybody here on this committee is real familiar with the power that this vehicle gives us to keep our infrastructure in place, how we can do it cost effectively. I think you know we did a 10-year note that was lower than the federal 10-year, which was what, 1.9? Was it a true interest cost of 1.9? And so what this exemption permits us to do is finance our capital with almost free money. And, you know, if you look at the value of the cost of inflation, we're almost just paying principal, but paying principal over time. And inflation is almost offsetting completely the cost of interest. And that really incentivizes us to keep up our infrastructure. And you can see that if this were constrained or eliminated, it would have a significant impact. It would just shift more costs to us and disincentivize the efforts we make to keep up our infrastructure. I know studies have been done that show that when a community keeps up its infrastructure, it's one important piece to having prosperity and development. And if we don't have that incentive, that would affect our entire country, because development is what helps drive this, the gross domestic product, and the gross domestic product is a measure of growth in our economy. And that growth helps fund our government, so it's like a symbiotic relationship. And there's some metrics that are in here. We worked with NACO. There's also the Government Finance Officers Association, and other constituency groups are supporting this. And several legislators have sponsored this. And Joe, I can't remember all of the legislators that have sponsored this right now, but I think that's on the website for NACO.
I think so, and it may be, I don't know that it's attached. I think it's information that I had. It was a group of nearly 60 bipartisan legislators who, as of 6 weeks ago, had already signed on to the letter that was attached to supporting documentation.
Now, I have heard that, one of the things we were expecting, and whether we'll see it or not, I don't know, but we were expecting this administration and the Senate and the Assembly of Congress to engage in a tax overhaul, and maybe that won't happen. I mean, maybe they'll get bogged down in these other distractions. But there had been discussions of reducing this even more severely. I heard the president had talked about reducing it to 10%. So draw billions of dollars out of the local government economies and foist that onto our level and make it harder for us to keep our infrastructure up. And there was a list that was developed. You know, when you look at the federal budget, how much is funded with borrowed money, how much of it is funded with taxation, and what does it go to? And there, like well over half of its entitlement, so there's a minority is actually costs that you can do something to. And there was a list of like 20 or 30 things that we could address that might actually meaningfully cut the federal budget. And at the top of the list was mortgage interest. I mean, the mortgage interest draws a huge amount of money out of the federal coffers, but you also could see the kind of economic impact eliminating a thing like that might have. I mean, it would ripple through billions and trillions of dollars of assets. So, and so this was like, I think, 18. It would have a minute impact on the budget. So when you look at the way it levers our economy, it's a small cost at the federal level, really wouldn't materially reduce the budget, even if they wanted to get engaged in significant tax reform or budget reform. And that when you see, we actually see the effect it has when we engage in developing our infrastructure. We see the growth we get, we see the development we get, and we see what wouldn't happen if we didn't do that. It seems like the benefits of this program far outweigh the cost, and it's good policy. If this policy has survived the Great Depression, so even during the Great Depression, our country decided that we should still keep a thing like this in. It survived the First World War.
Okay.
It survived the Second World War. So even it survived the Great Recession. So even with all of those times of adversity, this was not jettisoned. So I recommend that we support this resolution and continue to attempt to maintain this the tax exemption GO debt.
I move for adoption.
Aaron, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Ron?
Where is this coming from?
NACO was...
No, but I mean, where is it? This is obviously coming out of Washington, right?
Yeah, well, it had come
Who's pushing it? Is that part of the new tax plan to save the local taxpayers money? Is that the idea?
I'm not aware of it being formally introduced by the new administration. Of course, they're pretty new. They've only been in for a few months. They have talked about doing it. Our legislators are hearing vibes that this is getting serious.
This is preventive maintenance, huh?
Yeah, it's getting serious consideration. It was formally introduced in the budgets of the previous administration. It actually was introduced, but those budgets were never adopted, and this policy was never enacted. So it continues to get legs, and I think it would.
You think the infrastructure, if I still have the floor, their infrastructure, you think they'd be interested in getting some of their infrastructure fixed? This helps us with our infrastructure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to take it away.
Yeah,
we're going to get money borrowed, lower borrowed for money, and we're going to use it for a good cause. So what's the point?
Yeah, to your point, I can respond to your point. It's a 100% valid point. And I wish I had, there was a really cool chart from The Economist that showed how behind we are in our infrastructure. Our country is behind in our infrastructure. And it's like the roads were $4 trillion behind. And a lot of the roads are local. I think if we can keep that up, that'll help put a dent in that. So we heard that this new administration wanted to do $1 trillion of development, which would be great as far as updating our roads, but that would only partially address how far behind we are in our road infrastructure. So the point that we need to maintain our infrastructure and deferred maintenance is only costs more in the long run. So if you really want to control costs, keep your infrastructure up and don't just kick the can down the road, because that in the long run is going to cost less money. And this helps achieve those savings by being able to use this financing vehicle. So that it goes directly to your point, Supervisor Frederick.
Further discussion? Okay.
I have a quick question. Did you have any, if this happened, how much more taxes?
Yeah, I estimated it about on our $14 million, about a million.
No, I'm talking about if the, not us personally, I'm talking about the federal government. How much of an income would they get off this for taxes?
I can't remember the number. I remember it was like 16 or 18 on their list of tax cuts would save them, you know, $50 billion a year. I'm actually forgetting the number right now. I had it, now I'm forgetting it. So it's, and I'm going to talk about that later.
Further discussion? All right, seeing that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We'll circulate that, and thank you. Number seven is the grant from Wisconsin to the Drug Task Force grant.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. 2017 Wisconsin OJA Multi-Jurisdictional Drug Task Force Grant, or CDOG Consortium. State of Wisconsin Office of Justice Assistance has awarded $211,792 through the Multi-County Consortium Drug Task Forces. This consortium includes Kenosha, Racine, Walworth, Dodge, and Jefferson counties. Excuse me. Kenosha County's share of this funding is $53,140. The resolution requests modifications to the 2017 expenditure and revenue budgets in the Sheriff's Department Drug Unit business account for the $53,140 in grant money.
Discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
There further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next item is the Sheriff's Federal Housing Revenue Increase.
Good evening.
Hello.
I'm here on behalf of the Sheriff's Department representing this memorandum that was issued on March 29th of this year. Basically, it's in regards to surplus in federal inmate revenue to the tune of just over $1 million. To shore up overages and overtime staff development and miscellaneous contractual service expenses incurred by the both detention facilities in 2016. The sheriff reports that $29,786 of surplus revenue received from the Wisconsin, from the state of Wisconsin Department of Corrections under the Extended Supervision Program will also be recognized to help cover these same costs associated with the increase in the housing in the state's clients during 2016. The actual daily average for federal inmates during 2016 was about 241 per day. The 2016 adopted budget figure was 199 per day. A report of the federal inmate housing invoicing and receiving activity for 2016 should also be included in the package with this memorandum.
Right. All right, thank you. This only requires approval of the committee, doesn't go to the board. Discussion? Yeah.
So is this something that we've done in the past, use these to cover that?
Yes.
Anything further?
I have a question.
Yes.
It's $1 million. And what we're using to purchase two boat motors and overtime, do you know, do we have a breakdown of how much of it? I've got a note here that we're using the two purchased, using a surplus to purchase two boat motors and to cover overtime expenses. Do we know how much those cost? Is it, you know, the overtime? Right? That's what
I'm just looking at. This report I gave him today. So it's $1,061,000 was the surplus for 2016. In mid-2016, we came with a resolution asking to use $40,000 of the surplus to purchase two boat motors, have them installed on the safe boat. So that's been done. At the end of the year, we still had $1,021,000 surplus. So we're presenting this report to show you that I'm going to show you using the rest of that surplus to shore up budgets for overtime, for detention, and some other costs.
Okay. So after that's all paid, there's still money left over, or not?
There, oh, none.
None.
It's okay. All recognize the surplus.
Zeroes out.
Okay.
All allocated.
Anything further?
What zeroes out? Thousands, a million?
Correct.
What they're going to spend it on, it zeroes out.
Right.
Okay. All right. I thought you said the fund was
new.
What?
All right, is there further discussion?
Is there a motion?
There's no motion, if you'd like to make one.
Chief Deputy, where are we at today on our numbers? Can you give me an idea?
I don't have the specific numbers today, but I can certainly get them to you.
Right, I mean, Donna sends them to us, but I mean, I'm assuming from what I'm looking at, we're trending up, we're on the same platform of 16?
Yes, sir.
All right, I mean, that's important, you know, I mean, so we're roughly 42 a day over.
Probably in the neighborhood between 30 and 42 a day.
Right, okay, all right, that's all I have, thank you.
We'll do approve if it hasn't been.
All right, there's a motion to approve, is there a second?
Second to that motion.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right, the next item is Public Works. All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first two topics that are going to be in front of you are both resolutions to apply for the state of Wisconsin DNR. The first one at hand is authorizing Director Parks to apply for grant funding through the DNR, which will be used for multi-purpose trail improvements to KD Park. And we have this money already appropriated within the county budget. And the total project would be $288,000, half match, which would come out of county funds, would be $144,000. So this authorizes us to apply for this grant.
All right, discussion? Yes.
I'm a little confused. It's already in our budget. We don't have the grant, and now we're going to apply for it?
This is our second time applying for it, so it's already been budgeted previously.
Oh, it's been in a past budget?
Correct. I mean, it's not been a carryover funds, okay. Authorized carryover, and then we're going to try for it.
Okay. But we're not budgeting with the grant we didn't receive, which is...
Correct.
Okay. All right, I got you.
Move to approve.
Second that.
All right, further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. The second one is also same grant, and this one is for KD Park as well for phase two improvements. So this would include our grant to apply for a restroom facility, parking lot, and multi-use dock. Total project expense would be $446,826, half of which would be county funds, $223,413. And this also, same thing, was budgeted previously. So this authorizes us to apply for this grant.
Discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Now we're on number 11, creation of the account.
So this is a resolution to create an account for the Parks Division to accept donations. This is very similar to what Brookside has to accept donations, very similar to some line items within the Parks Division that we already have. When we created our three off-leash dog exercise parks, we were able to accept private donations through individuals or corporate sponsors. Same thing with our mountain bike trails that help us support and sustain those. So what we would like to do is have an overarching umbrella for future donations, events, sponsorships, for us to collect donations from different individuals or corporations, since we don't have an account, an overarching account to accept those donations.
Okay, so if somebody does donate, then it doesn't come to the board as an acceptance? Is that the idea here?
As of now, yes. It would not need that.
But right now it does?
Right now it would, if it did not go within a trail account for our mountain bike trails or a dog park. Any other type of donation would need to come to a committee, even if it was $2, to spend that on a specific donation.
Just wanted everybody to understand that. Discussion?
No discussion. I'll move to approve that.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, thank you. That's it.
I think that was it, unless you want me to do the We Energies one.
Public Works.
Okay, there's a...
You can do that? Okay.
Resolution to apply for We Energies permanent easement request.
Draw got shorter.
With the county-owned properties in the area of 1116 57th Street.
You can do it from there. We can hear you.
So it's basically the old Badger Millwork building that we're refurbishing to become a fleet maintenance building. We needed to put in a new electrical service for that in order to get three-phase into the building. And this basically creates the easement for We Energize to do both gas and actually electric for that building project. That's basically it.
Got to have that, right?
It would help.
All right, further discussion?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you.
Moving right along, huh?
Next item is human resources, Bob. Proposal to hire a park superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have learned recently that the parks superintendent, who's worked for us for over 40 years, is going to retire. And so we would like to put into play, as we have many times already this year and the past several years, a succession plan where we will hire a replacement for the retiring parks superintendent and have that individual work with the 40-year incumbent to learn the job, gain the tribal knowledge necessary, and to hit the ground running once Nick Murphy decides finally to hang it up. I think Nick has been here 42 years, and it's going to be a huge loss. And so we need to train his replacement. So we're asking for a change in the budget to include the resources necessary to hire his replacement. Once Nick retires, that money will go away and will be used to fit the new superintendent.
Discussion?
How many months do you think we're going to be doing this with the mentoring type?
I would like to see this. I would like to see it go 11 or 12. I want to see him have a year.
I'm fine with that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Jack.
So the superintendent now, do we have a final date of his retirement?
We're pushing him out as far as we can.
but he hasn't said.
We're hoping July 1st.
Of 18. Of 18.
Okay. So we have a full, basically, four seasons worth of training.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And who is the new person?
We don't know yet. We have to hire him.
I don't know yet. Yeah. This will take effect. This will take effect when he's hired, right?
Yes.
All right. Further discussion. All right, is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion?
Is this a budget transfer? But we don't need that here, do we?
No. This would be a
it
budget two-thirds before the board.
It is a budget amendment, right?
Pardon?
It's a budget. It's a budget model.
There's enough money in this year's budget.
This is not drafted as a budget resolution.
No.
So it's just a majority.
It's just a simple majority. Simple majority.
All right. Further discussion?
Wait.
Yes.
This is altering the budget, though. The money's in the budget, but it's a policy that restricts it to 90 days, and this lets it go beyond 90 days. But there's enough money in the budget.
And where's that money?
Just changing the policy to let you go beyond 90 days.
So your money's. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'm. What do you? You're allowing it to go more than 90 days, so it's still a budget modification. I mean, we're still asking for money, even though there's enough money to move from somewhere else, right? Is that what you're saying?
There's enough money in the legal appropriation, right?
Right.
And
right.
So there's. We don't need to amend the legal appropriation. So the money that you appropriated is sufficient to go beyond the 90 days, so you can suspend, in this case, the 90-day rule, which is the request, which is a simple majority. That's just policy.
Okay.
Okay, but it didn't say that in this. Anything you just said is not in this.
You good?
I mean, right? I'm reading it.
We appropriated the money at budget time, so we have enough money there. Is what you're saying, but I still think it's a budget modification. I mean, because we're asking for a whole new position.
Right.
Whereas the funding for this replacement position, approximately $35,000 in salary and 50 $15,000 in benefits for a total of $50,000 is available in the existing budget, and no new levy is required.
You still have to account for it on paper. I mean, you say, don't worry about it, we got the money. It has to come from somewhere. We're talking about $50,000. I mean, it has to be accounted some, right? That $50,000 is going to appear in an accounting statement. It's going to appear in a budget statement. Why wouldn't we see that?
So
see where it's coming from or how it's going to be?
I understand the concept. Let me try this, okay? So think of it. So if I've got money in a budget and you approve the budget and an employee leaves and there's a period of limbo there where before we get the position filled, and let's say it could go for 6 months, and we have someone have a temporary come in to so the work gets done, we don't have to come back to the board to get approval for the temporary because there's enough money in the budget due to the by virtue of the transition. Now, for whatever reason, the surplus is here, it's here, and so you don't need to amend the budget. All you have to do is change that policy that lets you go past the 90 days. So it's not a budgetary amendment, it's just the policy, it's a personnel policy amendment, which is simple majority, not two-thirds by law, by state law. Bob, am I right about that?
That's right.
Okay. So it is not a budget amendment. I concur and agree with that.
So okay. All right, further discussion, Mike?
So there's $50,000 in the budget someplace. But we're adding this position, and the position's title is going to be what now again?
Park superintendent.
So we're actually adding a position, but you're saying there's money in the budget to cover it because.
Well, and I think eventually the FTs will go back to what was approved when the 40-year person retires and then the new person succeeds. So it, yeah.
Okay, I got you.
All right, any other discussion here from anyone? Who made the motion?
I did.
All right, see if there's no further discussion, we'll vote. All those in, do you want a voice vote or do you want to?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Okay with it.
All right, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, it passes and we'll circulate that.
We're going to pay the
Bob, you have another.
I have two more.
Part of it's
with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask.
Well, the new guy, yeah.
John Smith from the IT department.
To get last.
All right.
Sorry.
The next resolution is similar to the last. Instead of adding a position, we're replacing them. The proposal is to eliminate a services support analyst and replace it with a project office manager. The intent on this, and it is Mr. Smith will best describe it to you, is to hire rather than retain the services of a consultant to manage the ERP project, which most of you have come to know through the budget. So we are going to hire a project manager for the ERP project. That individual will do that as his or her primary responsibility for up to 30 months. At that time, the individual will take over as the manager of the major project portion of the IT infrastructure. With your permission, I'll let Sean fill in the hole on that.
Thank you. So I think Bob he outlined it very well. The ERP project will continue for approximately 2 years. Normally, we would have used a contracted project manager to complete that, but we do have a need for a higher level project manager within IT for these large scale projects that we run. So this person would continue on those type of projects after the ERP project was completed. We do anticipate an annual savings of about $93,000. That's the cost difference between what the project manager fully loaded salary would be for salary and benefits versus the cost of the keeping him on as a contractor.
Anything else? Discussion, Jeff. Or Dan.
Is this person here already?
A potential candidate does work here right now.
Right, so we're not adding a position. Or we are adding a position.
We're eliminating the contract with the contractor. And we are replacing a job that's currently vacant with this job. However, the cost of this job is more expensive than the job we're replacing. Okay? So the difference would be paid for by the savings realized by eliminating the contract.
Right, but we have a contracted service that goes out till next year. We're making this person a county employee. Am I correct on this? This is what you're asking us to do.
The contracted service right now, that contract ends at the end of April. And that's also when the full-time position, the person in there now, retires.
Oh, okay. So you didn't say that. So we're actually, it's attrition, an attrition issue. All right. To me, I'm understanding taking a contracted person that's contracting with us, and we're going to give them a full-time position. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I know that there's more contracting to be done? You follow where I'm coming from on that? So you've answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah. So did we have this in the budget as far as that falling off in April and then us going out and getting contracted services?
The contracted services are part of the ERP budget. As part of the overall project, that position, that contract position, was paid for through the ERP project. And when and if we would convert this to a full-time position, the majority of that person's wages would be capitalized through capitalized labor on that project. We would just save the funding.
Okay, let me break it down to layman's terms, because now this is the second one where there's an employee, which is fine. I didn't even disagree with the last one. I was just looking at the semantics and logistics of it. But in the ERP budget that we've passed, do we have money that's going to cover this person for the rest of the year?
Yes.
I mean, we passed a budget so that it's there, correct?
Yes.
Now, you're just making him or her a full-time person and not having the contracted services through the end of the year. But we've already approved that in the budget.
Yes.
See, that doesn't need a budget modification. That makes sense to me. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
We're replacing a retiring employee with this individual at a cost savings to the county taxpayer of $90-some thousand, correct?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That's all I have.
All right, anything further?
I'll move to approve it.
Second.
All right, discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
All right, next item, Bob, the public health nurse position.
The guest star for this particular presentation is the other
Sam. You're the master, Sam. Yes.
That's all I have. I just keep calling him up here. That's great. This request comes from the Division of Health and Human Services. It is to replace a public health nurse, which is vacant, with a manager of a population health manager. This will better coordinate the outreach into the community and the services by the Division of Health, as was most recently presented in stark clarity by the Kenosha News in an article many of you probably read. This is what we're doing in parts to attack the 65% or the 65th choice in among counties in area health. To help further explain the finances behind that, I've asked Lori Staves to come up.
So this position will have, I think you got a chart, an org chart, and it's at the, it would be on the right hand side. So this position takes over the coordination of.
She does it, you think it's a chart. I love it.
Oh, well, love it. It's not a chart? So there, 11. Well,
Jeff loves your charts, he said.
He does like your charts, Lori.
I can't.
Now he's bummed because you didn't make it. now you're in real trouble.
No, I'll go back.
Now you're in real trouble.
Did you sign this thing?
All right. So there are approximately 11 plus grants that we deal with different health issues that we have in the Division of Health. So for example, the reproductive health grant, the Vivitol project that we're working on right now, early Head Start, our school nurses, so an epidemiologist, community specialist that we have, our WIC program, all of these deal with the most at-risk individuals within our community. And what we want to do with this position is coordinate all of that and have more data analysts done on it, analytics done on it, so that we can prove outcomes and what's working and what's not working. And hopefully we'll get from the 65th, you know, a little higher, the 65 out of 72 counties of our poor health.
When you do the grants, and grants, so this person would help with the grants, because from what I understand, grants, you got to have a lot of charts and graphs and statistics and proof, and here's the goal.
And we want to show it to
you. And you got to have all that stuff. Am I right now in that regard?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And you don't feel currently that we don't help?
One that coordinates it all, and I think that's what will bring it together, is what programs are working and how can we prove that with the outcomes. And you know, that's only going to help us to get more money funding. Right. If a program's working, there's other funding that we can grab. So as far as the budget impact, I'll try to explain that. So,
I'm going to move out of the way.
Here we go again.
Yeah. So currently we do have this public health nurse position that's vacant. And we've had some retirements, some longevity employees that have retired. And the hiring of the new staff this year, there's quite a bit of vacancy difference. So it more than covers it for both the 17 budget and also when you see the 18 budget, we don't have to add any. So we have it there.
Move to approve.
I'll second it.
We're actually ahead of the game.
Is there a discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
I already signed this one.
We don't want to give Lori any. All right, we'll move into the financial and services report and the closeout resolution. You're going to do the first report?
I'll do the first chunk one. Correct. First report I'd like to direct your attention to would be the general fund year-end forecast. I am pleased to report that we have good news. Direct your attention to the bottom right hand corner beige box at the bottom. It shows that despite some fiscal challenges regarding the medical insurance, we still are adding to the general fund approximately $137,000. With that addition to the general fund unassigned balance, that gets our percentage with the higher general fund expenditure number, it gets it to 28.24%. Last year, we ended at 29.22.
28.99. That was last quarter.
2 months ago.
So last year was what again? 29.
Right. So last year when we ended, it was 29.22. We're estimating that.
So we went down about 1%.
Yeah, just short of 1%. Some of the large, the ones that moved a little bit from the last report they received 2 months ago, included the human services surplus taking down a little bit. Sales tax came in nicely the last month, so that picked up.
What is nicely?
1,000. Pardon?
What is nicely?
Came in a couple hundred thousand more than we were expecting.
Just wanted to know what nicely was.
Yeah. That was a good surprise. Some other minor changes. The health insurance IBNR figure that we get from our actuary, that number came in lower than we anticipated, so that came down a little bit. The workers' comp and liability insurance internal service fund, that IBNR number came in higher than what we were expecting. So it went the other direction.
That's Bob here. Why are we having issues with our workman's comp, Bob?
We're actually trending normally, as it turns out. Our last year's, well, 14 and 15, which are the two that we have completed, were very bad years because of two very large things that we had to primarily go to. Individuals that were seriously injured had ongoing medical issues pad, and that was 2016, and we met with the actuaries on Monday. In 2016, we're actually down, and in coming back into our normal line. And so we anticipate that it is those two outliers that have really caused the spike, and now we will come back, we will regress to the mean as we're, and come in more normal lines than we should be.
Thank you.
The other thing I'd like to point out on this report is to show that we anticipate ending the year $7.3 million over the 17% minimum that the county board passed as part of their policy.
Discussion on this?
Mm-hmm. Jeff? I'd like to receive and file a report, make that motion.
Second.
Any other discussion?
I got a question. Dave, how does this put us, I mean, you know, obviously everybody that's been on, that's on this committee understands, you know, us getting to that AAA status rating. I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, am I wrong on
this? No, you're right. I mean, we preserve our progress. We didn't go backwards materially.
Right.
The number, if you look at it nationally, is a little above AAA rated counties. If you look at it in our state, it's a little below AAA rated counties. So from a reserve standpoint, we're pretty solid. We're in pretty good shape with that.
Okay.
Depending, if you look at how the rating agencies do their metrics on this part of their analysis, kind of given credit for AAA. There's other factors that are challenging. The one that I saw that was the most challenging passenger review was level. Now we didn't bump up any pump level, but we're not at AAA maintenance level. We usually progress. So a lot of the development we've had will help. That'll help chip away at that income level number. But now we're into the realm of these external economic things that we need to make progress on. We need to continue to hold the line on where we are with external stuff that we can control, like reserves. Would help us to get a little higher, but the external economics, we got to keep the pedal to the metal on that.
Okay. Thank
you're
you.
Doing pretty good, though.
We are, yeah.
Okay. Did the sheriff, when you touch sheriff personnel, did the money from the federal inmates get added into that at all? Is that part of that figure or not? Or
no, federal inmate revenue was in the top section there, the $1.1 million.
Second one from the top.
I see.
And the sheriff's personnel, the overtime, okay. And the right. Personnel and okay. Related deficits.
I see that. Okay. Thank you.
Anything further? The motion to receive and file.
So moved.
No, there was already some motion. Anything else? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
The second page here shows a report that gives you an idea of looking back 10 years as far as the Health Insurance Internal Service Fund, directing your attention to the fourth column over. It shows pretty clearly that last year was far and above our worst year by far, doubled. $4.1 million was the deficit. The box that's on the left-hand side shows how we were able to somewhat offset that budgetary overdraft using vacancy of $561,000. Portion that was allocated to the Brookside and Gulf, which are non-general fund funds. There was some revenue offset by the increased expenses being charged back to the human services. They were able to recoup $287,000 more revenue as a result of that. So the net effect to the general fund for health insurance was $2.6 million deficit, which ties back to the first report. Reducing that further, we had other budgetary resolution allowances that we were able to offset against that. But this year, we're going to the board asking for a budgetary overdraft to cover the budgetary overdraft, of $1.3 million, just over $1.3 million. Likewise, in the box to the right, it shows the deficit that we had in the workers' comp and liability of $600,000, offset by the amount that was allocated to Brookside Golf, and then some additional revenues again from Human Services. But with the other personnel appropriation surpluses, we were able to offset that. There's no net budgetary overdraft. The last box I had there on the bottom kind of ties to a report that Lori will share a little later too, showing that prior to the chargeback of the three internal service funds, Human Services had a surplus of over $1 million, offset by the chargeback to short of $1 million. However, they were able to recoup $302,000 of additional revenue as a result of those higher expenditures, netting down to what will tie to a report you'll discuss later. The surplus with everything in will be just short of $500,000 for Human Services.
Discussion, Greg?
Bob, how does the first 3 months look this year?
Health insurance?
Yeah.
We're ahead. We're doing well.
Doing well?
Yeah.
How well?
We're under budget by an annualized figure of $700,000.
Or at this time last year, we were already $1.3 million deficit.
Have some of the problems gone away that we or not? You're not
some
sure.
Of the top 25 have left the top
surplus.
By whatever
you know what I mean? I mean, they're not going to be reoccurring, so they're shared away.
Correct.
Okay. The top, many? How many?
How many have left?
No, yeah. Are the top problems of last year?
Four. Okay. But if you're in there, you're racking
bills. Yeah, I know that. But, okay.
Well, we had a $3 million a month in March last year, and this time we're half that. But we are, like I said, on an annualized basis, we're $700,000.
Any other discussion on this? All right. Anything else?
Go to the third page, third or fourth page. It shows the language of the actual carryover and annual closeout resolution, normal budgetary template language here. I'd like to call your attention to page, the second one down from page four, the second paragraph. This has to do with a carryover specific to the district attorney's office. They will be carrying over $127,537, detailed later, having to do with to be used for the State versus Jensen trial that is anticipated this year. This carryover would be used for professional services, expert witness fees, and other prosecution costs related to that trial. Any remaining funds that are left over from that trial at year end will be lapsed back to the general fund. However, if the trial, for whatever reason, would get postponed to next year, 2018, the funds would be allowed to be carried over for that purpose as well.
Barna, why don't you just run through for the committee the specific items in general that are listed on the next two pages?
Sure. The top item listed there is the budgetary overdraft for the medical insurance that I described earlier. The district attorney's office includes two lines for the expert witness fees and the witness fees. Those two added together equals the $127,537. There is a $2,500 donation that was received by the Veterans Services office that will carry over to be used for use within that office. There is some capital projects funds within the facilities division, repurposing from 60th Street Tower project to the Safety Building Tower project of $59,000. There's repurposing LED light conversion capital project to energy reduction technology project of $31,000. Specific to Brookside, There are a couple of capital outlay repurposing from nursing equipment to nursing equipment rental, and also towards the new building equipment of $10,000 each.
Can I ask?
Sure. Mike, a question. I'm just curious how you get that so exact, $82,627 something's going to happen. I mean, you can do it. Just curious how you
what, do what's that. Exact is that we've divided up what the carryover is. So we're not making an estimate that that will be exactly what we'll spend on the experts. What we're saying is the board in its wisdom a couple of years ago gave us this money out of Jensen. We'd like to carry over the whole amount, and this is a logical way to divide it. For instance, we have 11 experts that we've contracted with. Some of them we have a cap at what they'll spend, but at this point we don't know how many hours they'll devote. And so we expect and have commitments that we won't go over that $52,627 for experts. And then for lay witnesses, we have 61 witnesses that we intend to call in what I think will be a 5 to 6 week jury trial. And we're estimating, because we have to fly some of those people, give them hotel rooms, give them food if they're out of the area, $34,910. So it's not specific, it's just our logical way to divide up the money that was budgeted a couple years ago.
Thanks.
Did you want to finish page 6?
Yep, and on page 6, it shows a number of capital projects that there are some surplus funds, and those would be repurposed to the Brookside Construction Project, all totaling $299,000. That has to do with the soil remediation that you may be aware of at that site, and this would cover offset that.
Soil what?
They had bad soil, rake and speak, but it's
we had contaminated soils from the old fuel tank that was on the Brookside ground that we encountered right where the basement is currently, and there were a number of areas of compromised soils that wouldn't support the building, so we had to over dig those and then fill them with engineered fill to create the base we needed to put the foundations in. It was about $300,000 worth of that kind of stuff.
What's engineered fill?
Engineered fill. In this case, we use mostly what's called lean concrete, so it's a reduced, it doesn't have the same structural performance of regular concrete, but it still is a form of
concrete. Is that the stuff they grind up from concrete? Or?
No, it's basically the bag mixture. There's the reduced number of bags yards is basically what it amounts to, but it allows you to create a base underneath your foundation that's going to support everything.
Just curious.
All right, anything else, Barney?
No.
All right, now this is a total then of $1,859,553.
That's correct.
And that would take care of the entire carryover resolution.
Correct.
All right, is there a further discussion on it? Do you want to make a motion to approve?
I'll move.
For a second?
Second.
All right. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? This does require 2/3 vote?
Yes.
All right. Further. All right. Hello.
Hello. Catherine Andrea. To report the unaudited final financial statement for 2016. Including the closeout information we just had. I'd like to point out on page 7, the first column is called the general fund. And look at the fund balance that we've been seeing, getting a report every month. What we have categories there. If you can move that up a little bit, April. To get the bottom. Here you go, right there, that's great. Our real fund balance is actually $27 million, as you can see where the bottom line is. But we pull out what we focus on is the unassigned amount, which Barnum reported on the $18.3 million. We need to pull out of the $27 million certain amounts that aren't available for operations. So we have a prepaid item of $281,000. The delinquent tax amount is 7.7, which is just a small change from last year, where we reserve that and say that that part of our fund balance we recorded earlier as revenue. We haven't collected those yet, and that's required by government standard. We also have encumbrances of $233,000. That's contracts that we have in place that weren't completed in 2016, and we have to spend that in next year. And then we have the $1.2 million is the carryovers that are some of them listed there that you just approved. So that brings us down to the $18 million. So our fund balance is really technically $27 million. But the amount that you focused on is the unassigned, we call it unassigned amount, and that's what's available for operations. And as Barna said, it's almost at 29% of our expenditure. We also have in the third column, that's the debt service fund. And this year we have almost $1.5 million there that has to be used for debt service, and that is from the premiums we got from some of the refinancing, and also from the bond, the capital project fund. The bond said that premium needed to be used for debt service. So that's accumulated here, and that will serve to lower the levy in future years, so you won't have to levy as much for debt service because we have that. And that is dedicated, and it says it's restricted by, you know, legally it's restricted. And then I'd like to go to page 8.
Jesus.
And these are the funds that have special revenue, so they're special purpose funds. In the health department, I just wanted, could you raise that up again, April, to the fund balance, please? In this year, you know, it's a joint health department, and every year we figure out how much does the city owe the county for the activity that happened, or do we owe them if you ended your agreement? You know, that's, so that number at the end of the year was $170,000 that they would owe us. So we spent a little more, and it's like 2 years behind, I think, with the formula, and it works out. So that's kind of a different thing where it's a negative. I just wanted to point that out. And then we have...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
If I can. I'm always hearing from the mayor that they're paying twice city taxpayers. He's always saying that the services are provided countywide. The county, the rural area doesn't have to pay, but the city has to pay. What do we do different, or what do we do for the city more than we do for the whole county? I mean, maybe that's an unfair question to ask you right now, but
well, I mean, we have a very a formula that's.
I know there's a formula, but
I mean, it works out that this portion is for the people in the county and this portion is for the city.
Is that how it works out?
It's allocated based on, we have an outside firm that comes in and,
okay,
and
so
looks at the cost maximus.
I can explain to him that he's not being overcharged.
Well, maybe somebody else has some more insights.
Want me to try? Oh, go ahead.
It's our cost allocation plan that we do every year, and it's all our services of who we bring services to are tracked by zip code. So the city gets 53140, 2, 3, and 4, and all the rest are county. We do have some specific county that's on our side that we just take on. And then we do have some specific cities, like we do the ordinances for the city ordinances. Well, all of that is on their side. So
how much do they throw in every year for their share, approximately?
Well, it depends on like the previous year,
okay.
You know, like we close, but it could be anywhere between 800 to a million. It's fluctuating.
And that's all based on
this cost allocation plan by a third party.
So I can explain to him that the city taxpayers are getting their money's worth, right?
They're not being taxed twice.
Ron, I could say that I've heard that argument.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear it every time I go to breakfast on Monday.
I could say the facts and the data do not support that argument.
Okay.
That does not hold water.
Well, I'll just tell him what you said.
I'm sure that'll be well received.
It's a leaky boat.
The other thing to look at too is that on the health department is, if you want to look on page 14, they have $5 million in intergovernmental revenue, which, you know, they pursue grants and things like that.
He didn't tell me that. Oh, he just told me about what.
I am a beer and
This is for that.
I thought I knew the answer, but I just thought I'd get it out here.
You know, another simple way to look at it, of our total budget, of the health department budget, 11% is contributed by the city, and 11% is contributed by the county.
That,
so only 22%
I'll explain that to him, too.
Okay. And the remainder is through other reimbursable services or other funding that we bring to the table.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Also on page 8, the second to the last column called Federal Equitable Care. This fund was started, we added this fund last year, and that's the drug, federal drug money that we have to establish as part of the county's books and internal controls. I just want to point out that at the end of the year, there was $380,000 in there because it was still frozen, and now we're able to, the sheriff's department is able to use that. So if that's the cash that's in there, but they're starting to use that in the new year.
Why was it frozen?
The feds came in and did, in 2015, they came in and did an audit review of the operations, and they had certain guidelines that they wanted us to follow and document that we were following them. We were, I think we were following most of it, but I think you're familiar with that report. I don't know if you were on the committee when we presented that.
I don't remember that.
But it took a long time for them to, it went all the way up to the top in
a couple years.
Years.
Kathy, I'm going to add a little more because with, so these funds are new, right? They're newly depicted in the financial statements. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. And we didn't show them before. The accounting rules, generally accepted accounting principles, do not require that we show them. The funder requires that we show them. And we're happy that we get money, so we'll do what they like. But we weren't violating accounting rules. We were following accounting rules, but if they would like us to put them on the statements, but then let us have the money so we can have these programs, then we're happy to do that.
So
now everybody's happy.
Okay.
How will that be shown in the, now they're ready to spend $380,000, is that what you're saying? I mean, they can do it.
Yes.
That will, how will that appear in your statements then? Just so that we could know that? I don't know if it's...
There's a business unit set up with various expense lines where we're charging expenses at the close of 2017. We'll establish a budget that we'll spend. There's revenue as well to audit.
Well, would that be labeled, or it doesn't matter, you won't put federal... allocate towards a federal.
Well, it'll be in its own fund, so we have to isolate that expenditure. Is what Nancy's saying. It's going to be in its own fund, and you'll see
more activity in that column on close of 2017.
Okay.
I think there was a resolution that you brought forward, wasn't there? Of how they were spending that.
I don't, but that's... You're right. That's right. That, we did see that last. Okay. Thank you.
On page 10, I'd like to point out in the Brookside Care Center, that's the first column, we have, that includes the new building project also. And so 9.6 million is restricted cash. That's what's left at the end of the year of the bond money. And then you have 11 million construction in progress, probably 11 million that's already been built, which comes up to about the total of the project, 18 or 19 million. That's where that's where it is part of this fund. And then as when the asset is put into use, it'll move into the building and machinery and equipment thing. So that's where it appears. It's part of the regular operations fund. And then I will go to page 11, at the very bottom. I just want to point out that the health insurance fund still has the 1.5 million in the fund balance set aside as you've seen in prior years, even though we had the covered the deficit, we kept that fund balance intact as a reserve. On page 14 is an income statement where I might be a little confusing, but I do want to point this out. You have, I just talked about the federal equitable sharing. There's the income statement for that, where we got $64,000 in new revenue. I talked about the cash, that was the old cash. We did get some new monies. We spent $23,000. And then the second column's called Sheriff Federal Equitable Sharing, and that's a new fund this year where the Sheriff Department is approved to accept money from the equitable sharing, and we had to make its own fund. And so when they give money to the sheriffs to spend on certain things, that's going to be in a separate fund. So it keeps us accountants in business, I guess. So there's your regulations. And then the last fund is the federal inmate fund that we allocate. The Sheriff Department takes the revenue from the federal inmates, and we allocate some expenses there. That shows the revenue coming in, and then the lapsing of the surplus back to the general fund.
So the profit's 1.4 million.
Based on
you got 6 million and spent 5 million and had a million.
Still making a profit, huh?
Oh yeah.
Even at 68 bucks a day, huh?
On page
over 80, it would be higher.
When you say you allocate things, what do you mean by that?
Well,
I mean, yeah.
That means that you're putting expenses related to that based on certain things. So we base the main basis is the inmates in the jail that are related to the federal program versus the whole amount of jail inmates. So there's a proportion there. Nancy, do you remember what the proportion was, like the federal 200 compared to 600? I mean,
yeah.
So you take that and you say, okay, these expenses that the kitchen was used for everybody, well,
yeah.
We take the same proportion and say, okay, then the part of this kitchen is for that kind of thing.
Right.
Then there's salaries that are specifically that we can, they're direct and we don't have to allocate them. There's a whole business unit that goes in there. So it's based on solid black and white. Data.
So I guess the question is there somewhat of a guessing game when you have 42 extra more than you had budgeted? For how do you allocate the overtime? I mean, is it scientific way of doing it? Is there kind of just a guess on that? Because it'd be kind of hard that you've got obviously fixed expenses and there's so you've got to do the best you can, I guess,
right.
This type of question.
And the auditors,
salary.
The auditors do look at that, and it's based on, you know, it's audited after this, but they do look at that, and it's all based on acceptable.
It is part of the audit, right? The allocation is audited.
Yes.
It has to pass audit.
Okay, one more thing.
One more comment to your question, Jeff.
The $5,122,000. Lumped into public safety, is that basically what it costs to run having those inmates?
Yes,
I mean, that's what it costs.
Yes.
Where is it? Where is when the Sheriff's Department dips in and takes money from that? Where is that on the sheet?
Well, if you see the difference between the revenue and expense is on the bottom, 1.4 million.
Yeah, I see that.
Transfers out.
Yeah, I see
and
that.
And then. I'm sorry, Sean. Okay. Then we take this negative here. That's transferred. You see that's a transfer in on the general fund. So we're moving it from this fund. Anything that's left is moving into the general fund and increasing the general fund.
So
is that what you mean?
I get, no,
what he's asking
no, that's,
is
no,
if they do a transfer, that, then the transfer's coming out of the general fund, so did they take much of that 1.4 million? Did you use much of the 1.4 million, Nancy?
Yes, we used probably 1 million, 70,000 of it to
cover. But any cost would have been allocated to the cost.
To that 5 million, yes.
So that surplus really elapsed to the general fund as a surplus. So you didn't, so, yeah.
No, they took a million of it, she just said.
But it got allocated to the 5.1, so.
No, that's not what she said. The 1.4, she took a million out of that. So really, it's only 400,000 going. Or am I not reading that right?
If was the million for the jail?
Yes.
And was it for the housing of federal inmates?
Yes.
So that's in the 5 million. So the 1.4 million is a surplus. That you were confusing budgetary with
right.
actual cash surplus.
Two different things. Okay, I have a question. Just I get the point going to the general fund. In the sheriff's department, have we ever talked about setting a reserve, more of a do we reserve for, because they're very, it's so variable over there. I'm just wondering. My question is
a reserve for the sheriff's department. If we ever thought about having a reserve for the sheriff's department,
instead of it going something going to the general fund, part of it's maybe stuck in a reserve. That doesn't make sense, huh? That wouldn't work.
Well, we talked about when we developed our policy, we tried to optimize it for, you know, to have a sound, healthy, robust financial operation. That was one, the main thing. The second thing was to try to optimize our bond rating so we get the lowest cost. And there were several things we looked at, and to start putting reserves out there for every little contingency, well, it was clearly not to our benefit to do that for the reasons I said. So it was better to have everything lapse to the one fund, and if we need reserves for whatever reason, it's all there. One year you might have a big surplus in health insurance, one year you might have a deficit. Now, the one exception is, the biggest exception is the health insurance, where that did get examined, and because it's such a big cost, and because we're self-insured, there's certain standards on being self-insured to have a reserve level, and you're probably really familiar with that. So that was seen as being prudent. But putting reserves in for all these other contingencies, we basically, not to our benefit, and we've had lots of discussions on this and reserving for placements. There's a dozen contingencies.
I understand.
Sales tax deficits. The biggest deficit we had during the Great Recession was the delinquencies. You know that we had much bigger deficits there than most other areas, so we could reserve for that. We decided not to do that.
And I get that. I'm not saying, and I understand what you said. It does every contingency, but. The sheriff is the our big budget piece. You know, it is.
From a levy standpoint.
Yes, well, from a levy standpoint. So that's what I was thinking of. All the places to maybe look at, wouldn't this be one, just because
of
size?
I would say from a levy standpoint, it's the largest levy, but from uncontrollability, it isn't. I mean, there's more controllability there. I think delinquencies have less controllability. I think health insurance has less controllability. I think juvenile placements have less controllability.
There used to be a number of reserve funds in the county.
Yeah.
That was all eliminated by the board a few years
right,
ago.
Right,
to stick
Brookside
in
the had one. Parks that yeah. Gulf had one.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, and that was all eliminated.
To put in the general fund so that it can make the bond ratings improve, I guess.
So that the board would have more control over it as well.
That's true.
Yeah, because if it's going to be in an allocation fund, that's just for that specific entity.
We got more control and we get better bond ratings.
Yeah. Through the chair to Dave. Now, I want this clear for me, okay? So are we moving 1.4 to the... 100,000 and 1 million gone.
what they used of the 1 million that they asked for is in the 5 million.
Right.
So we are moving the whole 1.4 million
right.
to the general fund.
Right.
Okay. And that's what we showed as a profit on our right. on our employees, and we have right. to do that.
That's a profit.
Okay.
If I was the sheriff, I wouldn't like that.
right.
Yeah,
right.
Where's the sheriff's department? We speak up. Use 1.4 million.
No. Well, not. The sheriff does speak up at budget time.
Yeah, he does. Especially we could have the tapes for some cars with 1.4 million, right?
Well, the 1.4 million is going in the general fund, which is where the sheriff department is housed. So it's.
Yeah, but he could have it. Right.
On page 15, just one more thing here. That's the funds where we track the capital projects. Two of these funds that we're closing out, the projects have done Western County Communication and Administration Building Restoration. So those at the end of the year, then next year you won't see those, and those will be eliminated. Then I'd like to go to the last page on page 18, and that's the part where we show funds that, according to our policy, can lapse their surplus into the general fund. We had $835,000 from the social service fund as surplus. That covered $68,000 of the health department, a small deficit there. And then the job center building, this is the first year where we've had some surplus. The human services is able to get reimbursement over the years for that building for the depreciation interest, and now it's turned around where we can make, we're on the good side of it. I think it's been 15 years or so we've been waiting for this day. So we were able, that's the $1 million that the human services was able to give back to general fund, and then the highway fund was able to give $537,000. And that's where we end up with the $18.3 million that Barnard pointed out, and we're at our unassigned fund balance of 28.24% of our expenditures. That's for information purposes. Thank you.
I got a question.
Yes.
Kathy, I don't know if you know this, but is that $7 million in tax delinquencies? I'm going all the way back to the first stage.
Yeah.
Is that standard? I mean, is that pretty common?
That
amount?
Yeah. Well, it was.
I mean, I don't know if anybody else knows here. I don't know the answer. So, I mean, that's, to me, that's a big number.
It's high.
Okay.
It's higher than it's getting bigger, isn't it?
Well, we know it's gone down since the. I mean, it went
right
up during the recession.
Right, right.
Where everybody, and now it's leveled off, and the fact is the tax amount is up, so that dollar amount is up. It doesn't mean there's more parcels or anything. We can,
right.
We can get that information for you.
So as a proportion of total taxes levied, it's declined.
It's declined, yes.
So that's probably the best way to look at
that's
it.
That's a good, yeah, it's a good sign, really.
But it's still, as Ron said, in your day it was $2-3 million. Now it's 7.
Right. But then that was 15, 20 years ago.
The
there's 7
days.
Million. It's about equal.
Mm. 20 years ago, it was less than.
But it shows that over the three-year period when, you know, properties can be tax deeded after 3 years, we're almost at 99%. I mean, we're collecting. The amounts that are old are very small.
Okay.
And when you get just 3 years, once people get to the 3 years, they try to pay up, you know, or...
But that was my question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's we're collecting almost 99% of the
it was a lot bigger when I first came in, because we were picking up our specials too.
Yeah,
and
right.
I got a resolution passed through the county board.
Yeah, we jettisoned
because we were paying specials too.
We're
the city was getting all their money in.
Yeah,
and then the water bills were never getting paid, and we
right.
were bailing out water bills and everything else. So we had a lot of money on that one.
If we collect it, they get it. If we don't, they don't.
Yep,
so it's not our liability.
Of course, now you get 18%. Back then,
yeah.
It was 12, you know.
Yeah, we're making money on it because we get the interest penalty and interest.
We're
going
to have to ever collect it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anything further for Kathy? Right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other reports that to be made by the Department of Administration?
Do we have any more reports? Lori has a report, yeah.
You do.
I thought Lori had it. I remember Lori had it.
So here's our year-end report. What I want to do is just give you an updated page one, because the report you had shows our net of the health insurance and in workman's comp, and this one.
I have this one.
You already know. And this one matches the general fund report without the insurances. So when I was here.
It's all about the insurances.
Everything is about the insurance.
So it's just one added bottom line in that dark green area. So when I was here in January, we were showing $1.3 million and without the insurance chargebacks. So we got it down to $1.1 million, and since January we've had some payables that had come in, so that's really the difference. Attached, though, is the complete report that we have now with all of our charts. So if I know you probably, if you had a chance to look at it, I can, I know it's...
I stay awake at night doing that.
I do. So pages, the second page and the third page and the fourth page are all about the mental health and crisis, adult crisis contacts. It's about emergency detentions. It shows you our average length of stay. And it's got a 3-year prior comparison. Then we talk about our juvenile placements chart. And we are over budget in juvenile placements, $455,000. And it really is the days of care, not necessarily the rate. The days of care have gone up. The next page we have the autopsies for the medical examiner. And we are at 158 autopsies. In 16, we were 149 in 15 and 165 in 14. So we're kind of in the middle of the last 3 years. And we did budget 165. So, and then the last two pages are Brookside's information and how they ended. Just to kind of let you know that Brookside's did end with a $1.2 million. However, $631,000 of that was all the insurance chargebacks. So they would have ended up with a deficit of just approximately half of that. And if I can, at Human Services, I reported this at Human Services Tuesday night, and Supervisor Retzloff had some question about the managed care. And I don't feel like I really answered
it
totally.
No, you did.
Oh, shoot, because now I have an update. I have better. What's happening at Brookside is our Medicare census is creeping down, but what's called managed care is creeping up. And managed care, usually Medicare, we get about 500 to 520 on an average reimbursement per day. And managed care, it's a contracted rate, and most of it's from United Healthcare, that insurance company. And it's really a Medicare replacement.
It's a damage plan.
So what what's happening is that it not only takes care of Medicare Part A and B, but it's also including the prescription Part D. So it's an all-encompassing one plan. And instead of paying the five, the real Medicare RUGs rates that we would get on an individual, it's a contracted rate. And it's a negotiated contracted rate. And it's 405. And as of May 1st, it's going to 415. We're getting a $10 increase from the contract. So in the minds of the retirees who are choosing this and of the people over 65, they believe it's a better benefit. It's not necessarily a better benefit for nursing home, but its focus is keeping the individual in-home. So the in-home services are better than the regular Medicare plans. So we're seeing that creep up. So back in 14, when we gave you our project, our building expansion project numbers, obviously the contract didn't, managed care wasn't in the mix. So going forward, we're going to be adjusting that with our new census.
Any further? Yes?
Do you see this? I mean, I just think it's weird, managed care in nursing homes. I mean, it's like they've got, managed care was 15 years ago in healthcare providerships. Now it's like into nursing homes. I mean, do you see this being the new trend? Because, I mean, this is a cost killer.
That is a great question.
Right, and if anybody doesn't understand, I understand it. That's why I'm asking the question.
What I've heard, like, from Fran and Kelly and Ken, you know, the people that are dealing with this all the time, is that they believe in 5 or 6 years, even Humana is going to come in and do a manage a contracted rate with us and not pay the RUGs rates as Medicare pays. So I think it's the focus is going to be contracted in our... I think during the budget, you approved us joining the Living Age.
Right.
Yeah, and Choice Network.
Right.
And that's the group that's trying to come together, all the nursing homes, and negotiate with
right.
a bigger voice.
A fair equitable voice.
Yes.
Price.
Rather than just lone little Brookside.
Yeah, and what you clarified, I was under the misassumption that place is booked. Like, you can't get in. That's not true. Right, I mean Brookside. You clarified. I for some reason I had this.
Yeah, you thought we were
taking managed care
not Medicare, but
right.
obviously the tier level is Medicare first, and then
yeah,
you know,
okay,
it's dropped down that
made
yeah,
some
right.
sense.
It's not. It's a choice, you know. But we're finding in our community in the southeastern region is that we're hitting that contracted rate insurance companies. That it's very prevalent. United Healthcare is
right, and are we? I don't know. I mean, I guess this is something to speak to Fran about. But are we factoring that? I mean, this is a big deal.
Yes.
Because I mean, you're talking big dollars.
Yeah. Even our 17
budget. Right. I mean, because when we're doing a budget, that's going to be a big problem.
You're absolutely
yes.
correct.
Yep. No. Yeah. So I mean, I think that everybody's got to understand that because I don't think a lot of people understand that.
Yeah.
And it just seems weird that it's coming into nursing homes now. When it kind of phased out, you know, if you understand the healthcare industry, it kind of phased out. Managed care was gone, and now it seems like it's coming back. But why is it coming back? Because of cost containment.
Yes.
This is what it's all cost containment.
And they don't want insurance companies. They want shorter stays in the hospital. They want shorter stays in the nursing home, and you can have all these services at home.
If you remember my big speech 3 years ago,
I never forgot it
about Medicare. The worry. Did I predict?
Absolutely.
Here's one of our worries,
right.
And it's not. Yeah.
Well, I just think we need to stay on top of it. That's
yes.
all.
Yes. And they are. I think they are. Yeah. But you're right.
Thank you.
But I just
thank
wanted
you.
To clarify.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because I don't think I did a good job.
No, you did. I understood the piece. Thank you.
Good. All right. Anything further?
Yeah, Dave. Can I just
I don't
have
wanna,
one?
I want to let Lori finish.
Yeah.
One more second. I want to introduce Tammy Capito. She starts May 1st as the new CFO for Human Services.
Hi, Tammy.
So.
How do you feel about graphs?
Welcome. We love
She's
having
30
you
years.
Here. You made the right choice. You're going to love it here.
Oh, I already do. I haven't started yet.
Welcome.
Thank you.
At the tail end, though.
Are we any other reports, comments before Dave makes a final statement? Yes.
You know, my pet peeve, the good old health insurance, we took $2.6 million from allocations of other places for that. It could have gone other places. Just remember that. This is another animal that's, I'm glad to hear Bob saying it's improving. That's a good news. But we got that animal sitting there, too. So hopefully it will get better. But $4.1 million, $2.6 million, we lowered it. We took off of it from other places. So I'll just remember that budget term.
And, yeah, I agree, concur with that. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we've had two unprecedented back-to-back bad years.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm not saying there'll be a third, but I agree that it has to be.
We have to regress them. I mean, it's
law of averages.
It's the law of averages. We've had. It's 2 out of 10. They tell you you're going to have 2 bad years out of every 10 if you're self-funded. We've had two. There were years where
so you're predicting eight good ones?
Well, it's been a while, but hopefully we come back if we break even on the budget. Then we'll be delighted.
The concern, too, a little bit in my world is we have an aging, not here too, we got aging population, aging groups, employer groups are aging. Older people have claims. They just,
right.
That's how it goes. Spouses, everybody. And that's what's happening in the industry. And these healthcare costs for getting utilization aren't going down.
No,
you know, they just aren't. That's not necessarily, that's we can solve that problem, but, yeah, I mean, we all got that issue.
Right, right.
But hopefully we'll have a good year. That'd be great. It would help us a lot, yeah. Don't let anyone get sick.
I'm right behind you.
Don't let anyone get sick. Just don't let them get.
We proved that position sick. First thing that I get rid of is all this chocolate on the table.
Yeah.
You have the chocolate if you don't it's have a whiskey and cigarette.
You can have the chocolate. Yeah.
We need an expert to tell us not to eat that. So.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Dave, got a final analysis you got to say here?
Well, the last report of the night, I thought it would be a good time to talk about something that was approved in the budget, but I just wanted to focus on it a little bit more with the committee. I was raised in a family of devout Catholics, and my dad was a UAW guy. And they really loved a guy named Jack Kennedy. They were really shattered when he died, and they kept a book on the table called The Porches Pass. And so I remember seeing that book. And in our budget here, we reorganized. And I'm the department head, I'm the CFO, and I'm really happy that we have, I really have great comfort that we have some great talent that has decided to make a career here with Patty and with Barna in my department. We really have some wonderful talent here that's gonna do the torches pass. Now, I, with Patty is now the finance director, and she's got a huge challenge ahead of her implementing the ERP. Worked through and came up with a really cool work plan. And Patty, this is going to be great. This ERP is going to be groundbreaking. But when I remember when I did it, it was 80 hours a week, and you're working 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think that will happen, although I think we have a good team that will help with that. But in addition to that as a major challenge, that Patty will have. She will oversee a lot of the functions that you saw reported here, auditing the budget. But not that Barna will be the primary lead guy on the budget, but Patty will oversee the auditing, the general ledger, that all dovetails into the ERP. I ask Patty to please help with the accounts payable and the purchasing. Those are some of the basics that, Patty can also weigh in. There's a few other pieces. But one of the other tasks that I'm asking her to handle is the primary liaison to the board. So I think you've seen that she's done an excellent job of representing the administration here. And I think as far as passing the baton and the torch passing, I think now is the time to do it now. I think I've always said that the county board is the best form of government, and I've looked at the local level and at the federal level, and you see the intransigence at the federal level. The economists say it's our greatest risk. So if we didn't spend enough on defense, they would say we can't defend ourselves, but it's actually a national defense risk that we have intransigence at the federal level. So. We get stuff done, and we debate, and we get stuff done. The form of government we got here works really well. Now, I when I was in Hawaii on February 22nd, we had a board meeting, and I was getting piped in, and Mary said that the wind was causing a disturbance, so I put my phone on mute, but it really wasn't. It was a tropical breeze. I didn't realize it was causing it was a gentle trop. I was sitting, my wife sat in the room, and I sat out on the lanai so that I could take the call without causing a problem. But we had some wife's girlfriend was also there, so they were around the side, and I was out on the lanai on the county board meeting, but on that day, I became eligible for Social Security. So it's so at the moment that I was on that call, I was also becoming eligible for Social Security. Now, I don't plan on taking Social Security. Maybe I'll go through my whole life without taking it. Maybe I will. I don't know. But I like working, and I've got four jobs, and I can't, I think
we four jobs.
I'm a guy
there
that,
one
I can't sit still. You can tell I can hardly sit here during meetings. I won't be around forever, and we also have some really good young talent coming in with Patty and Barna, and there's lots of other people. Now, Bob and I, just as, you know, so I became eligible for Social Security. I'm a birthday twin with George Washington. But Bob and I kid about this, so with Bob, Bob and I, we were comparing our bald spots. Now, Ron here's got... You don't have anything. I don't know what. So Teddy was the first one we asked, and Teddy was too polite to tell Bob that he had a bigger bald spot than me. But I didn't believe that. She said we both had the same bald spot. But then I asked 12 other people, and they all said that Bob had the bigger bald spot than me. But so
just to show the relative difficulty between human resources.
Then we also took another survey, and I was judged to be much more great. That's joking around. But the thing about it is, I've been here for 32 years. I've been working in the business for 40 years. So now it's time to move on. And I will be here a lot. But we also have very good talent with Patty, so give her your support. Have great confidence in her. She's worked together now for a good period of time, and I can tell that she can do really good work and will do right by the committee here. And also Barna knows the budget, and we'll make sure it's honest and we'll get the straight scoop on that. So now, I know we kind of talked about it at budget time, but there's tons of stuff that goes on at budget time, so can't expect it to focus in on everything. But I just wanted to focus on this a bit so that you were aware of that. And again, I love coming to the committee and working with you guys. I'll continue to do that. But Patty will be the primary liaison going forward. So give her your support, and she'll do real good.
So how old are you now, Dave?
I'm eligible for Social Security.
Okay.
62,
so,
huh?
So I retired three times.
Yes.
I had three jobs. I retired.
Yeah, I know. I follow in your footsteps.
And I finished up at 78, and I'd probably still be working if they hadn't got the program.
Yeah. Well, you still are working here.
I mean, I'm talking about so you're not done yet.
Right, I'm not. No.
Believe me, I'll be 85 in October, and you're just a kid.
I am. But, thank you.
So don't sit here thinking you're so old that you're just done. You got a political career ahead of you, too. What the hell? Maybe you could run for Congress. What the hell? We could use some help there.
I don't know about that. I have a wife that talks to me.
It ain't over until it's over.
So that's my report. I just wanted to be sure you knew what was happening.
Well, I'm not going to cry.
Good. Okay.
We're going to miss you when you go, but I'm not going to cry.
Right. I don't cry.
Very good.
You'll be around. You'll be
just
around.
Just wish everybody a happy Easter, happy holiday season to everyone. And we'll see you soon.
See, that's what happens when you're retired, though. See, I got the meeting notice today, and I said, what the hell? Today's only Thursday. I forgot about Good Friday. Who cares? Every day's a holiday. Every day's a holiday.